Within the last few days, we have been discussing the six out of nine factors of enlightenment. And the last one discusses the balancing of the enlightenment factors. Bodhisattva means the factor of enlightenment, or factors of enlightenment, or factors of the Four Noble Truths, knowledge of the Four Noble Truths, or the requisites of an enlightened person, or the requisites of one who cultivates the Four Noble Truths. So, in essence, we try to balance these enlightenment factors. And we also talk about how the practice of Four Foundations of Mindfulness leads to the fulfillment of these enlightenment factors, that is, within our dhammas. Especially when one comes to the insight, knowledge stage of Udiyavihanyana, knowing the first arising and passing away of objects related, these enlightenment factors are fulfilled considerably, leading to the clarity of blood, light, and the spirit, and then the heightened sensitivity of sense organs, heightened sensitivity, heightened awareness and sensitivity of sense organs and sense objects, known as Upada Rupa Vijayam Hoti, including the sense objects such as heart, etc. And how diseases are overcome, how the diseases are cured. So much is concentrated on this subject, although there are many things to talk about, because we have discovered the state of this subject, because we have three more factors remaining to be discussed. We might cover these three things today, or at least by the end of the month. So today we shall go on to the seventh factor of enlightenment, namely establishing disregard of body and life. In Bali, Kayecha, Jivitecha, Anasakatam, Bhattapeti, establishing disregard of body and life. This expression, anapakatam, means having regard or consideration about one's body and life. One cherishes, one is interested in hanging on or clinging or taking care of one's body and life, such as the rendering. We have been with us throughout our lifetimes. And this apakatam means taking regard, having regard. So anapakatam means not having regard, not considering, not having any consideration, or not having kind consideration towards one's body and life. One should nurture this kind of spirit in the practice of meditation, which will bring about assured peace and happiness. In the practice of meditation, one cannot be leading a comfortable life for the right times. The practice is not so. One cannot be just having a nice time, a luxurious life, comfortable life. One should not be afraid of injury to the body. One should not be afraid of affliction or any kind of disease. And one should not have any regard for one's life. That means one should not be afraid of death in the practice of this meditation. So one should take risks with that regard to one's body and life. Such is the rendering, such is the essence of this expression. How about throughout our lifetimes, we have been having regard and consideration, and we have been laid back, our mind has been slack, and we have been living comfortably, having regard to body and life, and we have this sense of shrinking back from adventure, from effective, from exhaustion. Because one has not realized the light of the Dhamma, the taste of the Dhamma, so that one becomes diffusion about formations, about anything, and one feels laid back, indolent, lazy, sometimes boredom, kosajya, indolence, so that one will not take risks when it comes to the practice of meditation, where one will take risks and exert your energy. So this kind of lack of energy, that is not wishing to exert energy, even if one exerts energy, one gets exhausted very soon. These things are great disturbance in the practice of meditation. So, to succeed in one's undertaking, one must have this heroic courage, which has been given in the text. As regards our body, one should regard it as something repulsive, something filthy, undesirable, and nothing to be wished, nothing to be longed for. You won't long for, you won't cherish something which is rotten, which is repulsive, which is ugly. So you should consider your body in this way. And as regards your life, you should regard life as your enemy, which enemy will not wish for your welfare. So too you should regard your life like an enemy, because this enemy is not wishing for your welfare. So you have no regard for your life. If you see an enemy, you try to avoid him or her. You should evade such enemy from a distance. So too in the practice of meditation, where you have to take risks, you should have this kind of attitude towards your body and life. First and foremost, the body is to be considered like a poisonous tree. You compare your own body with a poisonous tree. Now, the samsara, we are living through the rounds of existence. The samsara means the process of mind and body. It is a process of sense impressions, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, bending, stretching. Process of cause and effect. Cause of mind and body. Mind and body as causes and mind and body as effect. And the flow of this process is known as samsara, which is like a poisonous tree. A poisonous tree will be very dangerous because it causes suffering. Such as the wrong views and conceptions. For instance, the ignorance is another product of poisonous tree. Not knowing the truth and knowing wrongly, such also is poison. And entertaining wrong views also is a poison. And being overcome by craving, aversion and delusion are also like having poison. And while indulging in sense pleasure in an excessive manner also is like taking poison, to the extent of not only enjoying sense pleasures which belong to you, but also trying to enjoy sense pleasures which don't belong to you, causing such diseases like AIDS, such as also like taking poison. And also because people take psychiatric drugs, they suffer from AIDS. And also they overcome by kilesa, they indulge in defilements, also the defilements. They are more dangerous than ordinary poison. That is because one has been considering all this suffering of existence throughout the samsara as something desirable all along the lifetimes, leading to craving, leading to attachment and craving or clinging. There are two kinds of clinging. One is sensuous clinging, clinging by way of sense objects, and view clinging, clinging by way of wrong views, thinking that there is atta or self or soul in them, leading to good and bad karma actions performed, whether good or bad, leading to resultants, vipaka, good or bad. If one does good, one is reborn as a human being. Even if one is reborn as a human being as a result of good karma, one is bound to suffer foolish disease and death unavoidably. They want things to be permanent, but things are in fact impermanent. They want things to be pleasurable, but they are not pleasurable, they are unsatisfactory. They want things to arise, to happen at their will, but they don't happen at their will. So it is like taking poison from a poisonous tree. On the body, or the samsara, is like a poisonous tree. So one should consider one's body as a poison, and also something repulsive and foul. And also is a place where all sorts of disease happen, or one can afflict many kinds of diseases. In short, the body is a heap of suffering, as is mentioned in the text, but people don't see them as a heap of suffering, because they don't see the true nature of these objects. They lead a very casual, comfortable life without any care. So in order that this should not happen, the Buddha has given this comparison, to compare one's body as a poisonous tree which is repulsive and foul.
Samsara vicha vakas.
This samsara vata dukkha, the suffering of round of existence, which is the process of mind and body, which is like a poisonous tree, like the sense impression, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and so on, flowing like a current, and it continues to happen in the form of initial result and continuing result. It is said that there are two sweet fruits borne by a poisonous tree. That is in the form of pariyati and paripati, the studying or learning aspect and the practical aspect. One should study first, that is the rendering of one sweet fruit. One should study it, one should study the method of practice, which is the correct one. This is one way of avoiding the poison, to take out this sweet, one sweet fruit by learning the correct method. Learning the method of doctrine, discipline, Dhamma Vinaya. Dhamma means the instructions or guidance towards the welfare, towards one's welfare and benefit. And Vinaya is the discipline for the benefit of oneself. So these two things make up these two sweet fruits of a poisonous tree. So once it's made, once you study first, study the method of practice, at the same time study the discipline by which one should take up the practice. So to learn the practice, one should do in many ways, such as hearing the Dhamma, or discussion, or reading authentic literatures. This is how one learns the correct method of practice. In this way, one comes to understand the exact method of practice leading to the purification of one's physical, verbal, mental behaviors, so that it becomes cultivated, cultured, unblemished, gentle, and amiable. And one learns the discipline as well. For instance, discipline for monks, discipline for lay people. And one should understand how to practice the way of mindfulness, satipatthana. Just imagine, just think about this practice of satipatthana, how this can bring about positive results. That is, if one practices sila, moral virtue, one is bound to cultivate one's physical and verbal behaviors. And if one practices the samadhi sikha, training of concentration, there are also disciplines how to cultivate concentration. And the same thing goes with the cultivation of wisdom, by which one can purify one's physical, verbal, mental behaviors so that it becomes unblemished, gentle, peaceful, and amiable. This is quite obvious. That is the aspect of patipati, the practical aspect. By studying first, one undertakes the practice, and one is bound to realize the result by undertaking the practice. So this is one way of avoiding the poisonous tree, avoiding taking poison from the poisonous tree by way of craving, aversion, and delusion. And by doing karma, good and bad karma, one is bound to get good and bad results. And if one is able to practice in order to realize the first path consciousness, at least the first path, then one will be free from the dangerous states of loss. And such is taking two sweet fruits. One is studying or learning the correct method, and then undertaking the practice, giving positive results, such as we mentioned in the text. So these two sweet fruits give assured happiness. So one should not have regard to one's body. If one have regard to one's body and life, you will not be able to take or eat these two sweet fruits from the poisonous tree. There must be this willingness to take risks, which is very important. And only when you take risks, you'll be able to gain what is assured. You must not hesitate to forego or renounce any comfort or happiness which are not assured in order to realize assured happiness, which is valuable, priceless. So in a sense, it is like a heap of rubbish or trash, this body means,
suppose it's like a pre-pop, pre-pop crash. If an ordinary sense, this heap of rubbish can only be used as fertilizer, if one wishes to do so, however intelligent people can extract valuable things out of this rubbish, like they can choose and pick the plastic things, pieces, to make useful plastic materials or utilities. And in this way, the valuable things, utilities, such as utilities, can be extracted from valueless things like the heap of rubbish or trash. We say this as extracting gold from trash. So one should be able to extract good things out of a body which is not dependable, like taking out gold out of trash. We should be able to study or learn a method of practice and undertake it, so as to refine and cultivate one's physical, verbal, mental behaviors, which are manifold valuable than possessing gold. If one is able to cultivate meditation, at least to realize a first path consciousness, then one will become above average human being, so that one is set to realize assured happiness, peace and happiness. And to this end, one should be able to renounce valueless material like the trash, to which one should not have any attachment. As a human being, one should at least have possessed a human mentality and also behave like a human, like somebody, like a human being above average, or above average human being, which is very important. And if one is able to do that, one is said to be knowing one's own prosperity in the right way. That is, things like ordinary education, knowledge, and wealth are not so good enough to uplift one's life. Things like things which would uplift one's life are the method of practice, learning the correct method of practice, and undertaking this practice leading to positive results. Such are the real human prosperity, or prosperity for everybody. If there's no Dhammavinaya, doctrine, discipline, there will be no exact guidance or method of practice, nor will there be any disciplinary rules, then one will not be able to realize the genuine prosperity in order to cultivate one's physical, verbal, mental behaviors, so that there will be no security in one's life. If there's no correct method, there will be no correct practice. Then there will be only negativities, undermining elements, such as craving, aversion, and delusion, leading to immoral deeds known as dukkha-riddhas, which will happen all the time. So long as there is the absence of Dhammavinaya, doctrine, discipline, such things are bound to happen in oneself and in others. So such kind of state is known as poison, state of poison, or poisonous tree. And also, it is also like kilesa vira, the enemy in the form of defilements. They are the internal enemies, close enemies. If one does not know how to cultivate prosperity and welfare for oneself, one will also not know how to cultivate welfare and prosperity for others. Hence, it will not be easy to cultivate metta, karuna, loving kindness and compassion. If one is devoid of this dhammavinaya, offering discipline, one will become a violent person, so that one's life will be, although one is living, one is like living a lifeless life or a valueless life. Although one is living, one will not be living a valuable life. One's life will not be valuable. That has been mentioned in the text about the state of absence of doctrine, discipline, dhammavinaya. So one should consider, that's why one should consider one's body as one's enemy in the practice of the meditation, so that the instruction, the factors is one should practice disregard of one's body and life, and one should have this kind of mentality. One should not have consideration in one's body and life in the practice of meditation, which is one of the factors of sharpening, as has been mentioned in the text. So one should forego or renounce a valueless thing or valueless happiness for the sake of possessing valuable or priceless prosperity and welfare, which is the practice of mindfulness, concentration and wisdom. If one does not follow the path of Dhamma, the practice of meditation, and also not following the disciplinary rules, that means one is not possessing Dhamma Vinaya, doctrine, discipline. It will be like taking poison from a poisonous tree, leading to violence in one's life and physical and verbal wrongdoing. Then one is bound to lose one's honor and dignity. Then what will happen? One becomes one's own enemy. Such kind of life will not be a valuable life. It's not a worthwhile life. If one is not understanding one's own prosperity or how to cultivate one's prosperity and welfare, then one will become one's own enemy. This is not a kind of enemy which comes from outside. This is the enemy which comes from within. So it becomes an enemy within, which is very dangerous. Such kind of people will have regard and consideration for one's own body and life, being afraid of injury or death, not wishing to take risks because of one's body and life, having regard for one's body and life, not wishing to take risks in order to gain assured happiness. As the local saying goes, if one has regard, that means, in our language, regard means just tilting it. If you tilt it, it'll be upside down, and if it's upside down, then it'll spill. That means if you have something valuable in your cup, and if you tilt slightly, what will happen? It will go sideways, it will not be upright, and if it's not upright, all valuable things will spill over. Such is what has been given, what has been said in the local saying. So also, if you tilt, that means if you have regard, then it's going to spill valuable things. So you must not tilt, or you must not have regard, so as to spill valuable things. The practice is not to have regard to your body and life. If you have regard, then it will spill over your valuable things. And the practice, because the practice is to gain assured peace and happiness, such as been mentioned in the text, and it's quite sensible, quite reasonable, not to have any regard to one's body and life in the practice of meditation. However, Jaro says that although people are afraid of death, there has not been any fatality in the practice of meditation in the meditation center. So be assured that you won't die of sitting meditation or walking meditation. Instead, you are bound to realize peace and happiness. That's all for today.